Welcome. Glad that you're listening. Culture, climate, and leadership are key determinants in the quality of education in schools and should not be taken for granted, because relationships at all levels of a school district play an important role in effective leadership. You can find this conclusion in the doctoral research of educational scientist Nicolette van Halen, on which she hopes to obtain her doctorate soon at the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Nicolette did her research in both the Netherlands and the USA. And the outcome of that brought us to the idea to make two podcast episodes, one on motivation of students and the other on school leadership. Today, we will talk about how to optimize leadership within the schools. We talk about this, of course, with PhD candidate Nicolette van Halen herself, and with two guests from the Acadia Unified School District. That is, former principal of Dana Middle School and current director of curriculum, instruction, and assessment, Daniel Hacking, and central office leader and coordinator, instructional integration, Andrea Mendoza. And you both have played a very important role in the research that Nicolette did for her dissertation. A very warm welcome to you both, and thank you very much for participating. Let me first do a question for you, Nicolette. You have crossed the Atlantic Ocean to do research precisely in this school district. Can you share a little bit about why this district offers you such an interesting environment for your research?
Sure. So what I first would like to mention is that both in the Netherlands and in the US, back in 2018, there was a great sense of urgency to innovate education. Innovation in society broadly went very fast. Jobs were changing. So it makes sense for education to adapt. It's true that there are differences between the Netherlands and the US. But when we look at this ambition to innovate, perhaps one of the contributing factors in not making progress or making progress is, understanding practitioners and particularly leaders' decisions, actions, and inactions. So what the research shows is that surprisingly little is known about how school leaders enact their decision-making authority for school improvement. So I needed a context to study leadership. And Arcadia provides that context. Arcadia is a very interesting case in terms of the research for many different reasons. So first of all, they're known for their innovation initiatives, but not only the many innovation initiatives that are going on in the district, but also how they share it with other schools in the region, for example, through an innovation summit. And what's also exceptional about this district is that they have a learning culture that allows them to learn, support these initiatives, and share it with the world. And another reason is that I joined them when they started a research practice partnership with UC San Diego. And that partnership, which is a very high-touch research practice partnership, allowed us to develop instruments and develop new methods that would not only give us more understanding of the context and leadership, but also helped us as researchers to support leadership and these initiatives. And that was really aligned with my ambition as a researcher at the time. So I think this is a great moment for me to stop talking about that, because I think there's a great reason why we have Daniel and Andrea here. I would actually like to ask them about this a little bit. So Arcadia is known for innovations around teaching and learning. And as leaders, you know that culture and climate is really important for the success of those innovation initiatives, right? In your view, which structures, strategies, processes, or people do you believe support you in your role as a leader?
Actually, I was thinking that it would be good to hear from Andrea from more of a district perspective, because today I'm going to talk more as my role as principal, because I got involved at the very beginning, and then even more involved in year two, and we are in Better Together, as we call the research project, Better Together 4.0, which I just want to point out is remarkable for education that we have stuck with something for 4 years and we continue to learn and grow because of the research and because of the things that we're doing in Arcadia. So Andrea, why don't you share some of the good sort of, 3,000 foot view of it.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you, Dr. Hacking. So what we do here in Arcadia is that we have so many different avenues and resources for collaboration. One of our values in our district is collaboration, which we do on a daily basis, minute by minute. There's just so much conversations that go on between principals, administrators in our office to make sure that we stay on the same page in respect to doing what's best for kids, doing what's best for the school and for the schools and for our students. And so thinking about the structures that we have in place, we have a leadership retreat that we do at the end of the year that really kind of brings us all together so that we can kind of debrief the year, but also set goals and a vision for the upcoming year as a leadership team. And that's a really special time for us to really connect, get together, debrief, reflect, and also think about moving forward. We have several different meetings set in place, structures set in place throughout the year that continue from there. We have our monthly leadership meetings with our executive team and our principals, where they meet and they focus on topics that are related to the goals and the vision for that school year. We also have our management meetings that we do monthly on a regular basis. And our assistant superintendent of educational services, Dr. Forsey, is really good about always checking in with the principals. He makes sure to check in with them on a weekly basis just to make sure that there's anything that they need. But one of the beautiful things about our districts is that we're all very close and we're able to reach out and connect with each other if things pop up. You know, an example is just this morning, I called one of the principals because we needed to move forward about something with our EL students. And we just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. And I think everyone in our district knows that everyone's just a phone call away or an email away. And we're all very responsive. And I think that's what makes our team so special is that we all know we can lean on one another if support is needed.
That was a great start, Dr. Mendoza. Thank you. I do want to say one of the things that's amazed me, I came to this district 12 years ago. I was in another district for 20 years, a good district, not a great district. And one of the big differences was the inclusivity of Arcadia. So when Andrea talks about that leadership retreat, I think it's very interesting. The term we use, we call it the charge, as we're always going forward rather than retreating. And everybody is invited to that. So we've got the leadership of the custodians, the leadership of food services, the leadership of transportation, the leadership of business, leadership of education, and on it goes. So there's 50 people at this retreat on the first day. And that is part of those connections. And I want to say that one of the nice things, we always, you know, we're a little cocky because we are high performing and we feel that, like, we have a very connected together group. We have in America, there's a school board that runs local school districts, and there's usually five people on that school board, and often it's very contentious. And we have five people and we've had different ones, but they're always on the same page. They're always working together. And that comes down to a remarkable cultural, but also remarkable leadership in that it always starts at the top. We know this. And our superintendent has a vision. He has a way of just calming the waters, especially over these last 2 years of the turbulent seas of COVID. And the board is right there with us. We are a unit together. So thinking that we're good and knowing we're good are two completely different things. And so bringing in Dr. Daly and soon to be Dr. Van Halem to this research study to actually look at the data to see, are we really connected? Is there a positive culture here? And not only starting with it, it was pretty good because we're on a Likert scale of 6 and we were getting 4s and 5s in there. And they're like, oh my gosh, other districts are happy if they're over 3. Well, it's grown from there because I feel like we have this metacognition now of, okay, that's good, but what can we do to make it even better? And then to have this complete crisis thrown in the middle of it, and to be able to weather that storm and in many ways, silver lining, we were able to connect so much more technology-wise because we were doing so many things remotely. And it was a blip. It was really hard, and nobody was expecting the Omicron, but we've weathered it, we've come through it, and I think we're stronger than ever. And I think that the data supports that, which is really nice. Now, turning to the site level, it was really interesting for me because I just was running my school, and I had come to a pretty dysfunctional place 12 years ago in that they were they didn't feel good about themselves. And so and the district was not happy with them because they complained a lot to the district office. And my big mission the first couple of years was really turn that around and make them the nice, kind little school, and also make them feel good about themselves again and be kind to each other. And, I was just doing the work. I didn't really sit down and analyze, you know, how am I doing this? And what's, because it all stems from trust, and there was very little trust there. And we built that trust just by being, I built the trust just by being very transparent and very distributive in my leadership. But until I sat down with Mimi and Nicolette and Alan, I didn't analyze any of this. And so it was fascinating to me to be able to look at, you get great feedback. You get feedback from the numbers, but you also get feedback from the qualitative reports from people. And it's all confidential. So I think people felt very, very secure in that they could say their feelings, even if it was going to be a little bit critical, because they knew that they weren't going to be singled out. And I was able to take that and really work on some things like our restorative practices and the kindness initiative and things like that. So I thank the district for having the vision, and that all came from Dr. Vinasal, our superintendent, and then the fact that we stuck with it. And I know one of the greatest days for the principals is that day when they get to hear about their data. And I talk to them afterwards and they're all floating on air because there's so many good things. And of course, because they're perfectionists, they're looking at the parts which might not be as strong and looking at ways to, I was having a talk with an elementary principal. She said, oh my gosh, yeah, my teachers, gosh, we're right there. But some of those parents, wow. So she knows she's got some work to do there. And that's just great information to have as a leader going forward.
Thanks, Daniel and Andrea. Well, you've touched upon all the different elements that we were hoping to discuss in this podcast. So we will just unpack those answers a little bit further in the rest of the conversation. You mentioned a lot, and a lot of major, very important elements of leadership, school culture and climate, and what it means to work together as researchers and practitioners. So I will just ask a few more follow-up questions on that. And I just wanted to sort of illustrate one of the things that you both mentioned, that collaboration and so the relationships in the leadership team and on every level of the organization, the district, are so important. Arcadia is often referred to as the Arcadia family, right? And actually, as researchers, we felt welcomed into the family, which for researchers is, you have no idea how nice that is, because researchers are often isolated behind their computer, doing the analysis, crunching the data. And then to be welcomed in a family, even I got a little present when my daughter was born, all the way from Arcadia to the Netherlands, which I will never forget, from Andrea, which is sort of illustrating how important those relationships are for the district, how valuable it was for us as a research practice partnership. And that was just really, really great. You mentioned way more things, and I will just I will follow up on that later in this conversation. The first question I want to ask, so you collaborate a lot and you are very intentional about the culture and climate in the district to support the different initiatives that the district has underway. What do you think, from your standpoint, has the greatest impact on the student school experience? If you think about culture and climate in schools and in the district.
I think, you know, reflecting on it in thinking about all of the structures that we just talked about, is we balance those formal structures with those informal conversations that exist. And in thinking about our our students' experience, we're in this business for our kids, right? Our outcome is really supporting students and making sure that they're able to succeed. And our purpose is really to just challenge and inspire students to make a positive and profound impact in their world. And so our focus is exactly that. And we have a local control accountability plan that we have to do annually where we set goals. And what we decided to do this year is really look at what it is that we're putting on this document and what impact it has on students. So we decided to do some interviews with students because we thought if we're writing these updates, we want to make sure that it aligns with their experiences, and who better to hear it from than the students. And so what we did is we went and we asked them about, do they feel like they have agency in the classroom? Do they feel safe? Do they feel welcome? And it was really great to hear the kids' responses. And it really felt good because their responses aligned with the data that we're getting with our Better Together data. You know, the trust in the principal, that feeling safe when they're at school, them feeling like they do have a voice, they feel like someone cares for them. Those are all pieces of information that they shared with us during this interview. And it was really just powerful to hear about how they perceive or what their experiences are when it comes to being at school and coming back to school. And so we really do feel like the collaboration piece that we have, the learning for failure, all of our values really do impact them positively and make their school experiences meaningful.
And I want to focus more on the teachers because I did my dissertation on teacher effectiveness. And it is clear from reams of data that the most important impact on students is the teacher in the classroom. We know this. And I feel like a happy teacher, an excited teacher, somebody who continues the learning and also has the heart for the students can and is incredibly effective in the classroom with the students. And knowing this, we really focus on that. So for example, in many districts, the first thing to fall by the wayside is professional development. We pride ourselves on very innovative professional development. And we also like to tie it together. So we have this umbrella called MTSS. And just know, I don't know if this is the case in the Netherlands, but in America, we love our acronyms in education. So there are more letters like LCAP and MTSS and UDL, and I could go on for days. But MTSS, I'm actually forgetting what it stands for right now. Help me out, Andrea.
I learned
multi-tiered system of support.
And so that's the umbrella under which all of this, and basically it means meeting the kids where they are. Every child is not the same. So some have incredibly high reading levels and some struggle a bit with reading and some in between. Same with math, science, history. Go onto a sports field, you see in PE, some kids are very coordinated, other kids struggle with that. So they're all over the place. And what we try and do in the classroom is this tier one level of support, just meeting children where they are, whether they're super advanced and we're trying to excite them and make them go further, or they might need a little bit of help in the classroom, breaking down the lesson scaffolding and so forth. And I think that is so important and such a powerful, that's what we can boil all of our initiatives down to, is meeting the students where they are academically so that they can thrive and survive in the Arcadia Unified School District. And that is, we do it collaboratively, we do it innovatively, and we're just really excited. For example, this summer, we have a summer institute for MTSS, and the principals have been tasked with getting a Cracker Jack leadership team from each one of their schools to really work on this for a week during the summer so that we can move forward with this next year. We're very excited about next year coming out of masks, coming out of isolation, and having, and I put this in quotes, a normal school year again, but we feel we can really springboard forward now. And so let's just, and we have some funding in what's called ELO funds, not the band from the 70s, but extended learning opportunities. And the state has funded school districts to do the catch up for these kids who are, and we are seeing it in the data, they're not as strong in math and reading because they were learning remotely for so long, but we are going to catch them up, and it's all going to be under this umbrella of MTSS. And so there's three tiers of support. It starts with the classroom, and that's 90%. That's the most important part, and that's the teacher having the skills to differentiate and to engage and give them agency and multiple means of expression and so on and so forth. But also, if it's clear that they need extra help, they can get pullout. That's tier two and up to tier three, where it's very intensive levels of academic support. So that's how we're trying to go about it. But I can't stress enough how important the teachers are. And I'm going to give you just one more example, because obviously follow the money. Just this week, we have win-win interest-based bargaining. So it's not a negotiation oppositional thing. We just said it's very important for them to feel, especially with all the inflation and stuff. So they will agree to a 6% raise this year, which is a massive amount for everybody. But that's from the superintendent to the cafeteria workers. And everybody's going to get that 6% raise, which I think sends a message of you are important. The money is here. It needs to go to you because, boy, it's been a rough couple of years.
Thanks so much. Yes, that's a very powerful example. I think you mentioned many different factors that you find are very important for the student school experiences. So, Daniel, you mentioned the teacher, but you mentioned all the important work teacher does with differentiating, with providing students with agency, personalizing their learning, providing them with the right level of support. And that can be all kinds of different levels of support and different forms and shapes of support. And then, Andrea, you mentioned reaching out to the students and interviewing them and getting their voices heard, right? And they reflected what you saw in the data, that students' trust in their teacher, their principal, so important, student voice, safety. I think for the listener, it's also great to hear a little bit about what is the better together partnership, right? Because some may know, some may experience a community engagement night or have been familiarized with the project in different ways, but some may not. So the better together research practice partnership focuses on collecting longitudinal data about all the areas that are relevant in light of the district's core values. Those are culture, climate, relationship, chips, safety, leadership, and leadership is a focal area for you at the level of the leadership team. But I know for a fact also in the classroom for students, you foster students' leadership skills. And the data also focuses on instructional practices. So to what extent does the teacher provide students with voice and choice, and does the teacher individualize? Safety is on there. Those are just a couple of examples, because the list goes on and on and on. And we not only ask the teachers or the students, we ask seven stakeholder groups. So we collect data from leaders, staff, classified staff, certified staff, students, parents, and the community. So what's really important in the Better Together research practice partnership is that we look at the district as a system, and we focus on how everything is interconnected. What's also very important is to stress, collective intelligence, right? If we get all the voices heard, then we get a better, broader, more accurate picture of what is going on in the district. And we also focus on personalizing research instruments. We are not thinking about research at the campus or in our offices. We are working together to build personalized instruments and methods to provide actionable research outcomes, which for educational sciences is crucial, because we shouldn't exist just to build theory. We should really support practice. And one of the methods that we developed collaboratively is a method that looks at all the interdependencies between those different domains that we are measuring. And that helps us to determine or shed light on which domain is a high leverage domain based on yearly data. So that can change a little bit from year to year. And one of the areas, amongst others, are that come out of that method. It's called the conditional mean independent CMIC correlations growth functions. So we also have some abbreviations. One of the results from that method is that on different levels, so from the student data, from the teacher data, and across years, trust is comes out as a high leverage area, and student voice and choice, personalizing learning, but also community involvement, especially during the pandemic. Outreach to parents and the community came out as a very important high leverage domain. So my next question, you already mentioned this shortly, but since trust and the relationship with the teacher is so important for student school experiences, how do you nurture trust when implementing innovation initiatives around teaching and learning?
So I think I'll go ahead and start if that's okay. So I think when it comes to trust, it's always a two-way relationship. I think our principals work really hard at building the trust, not only with their teachers, but with the families and the students as well. I think our executive team does a phenomenal job of really focusing and building relationships with everyone in the organization. And just thinking about teaching and learning specifically, I know with the innovations in the teaching and learning, people are always given autonomy to try things out. And we try to eliminate as many barriers as possible. We trust teachers as professionals to do what they think is best for their students. They're really good about communicating with their principals. If they need additional support, we have systems where they'll come to Greg Zanian for innovation projects, and they share with him, and he works with principals. And so they really work collaboratively to support the teachers in the classroom. One example I can think of right away is the classroom environment where they redid the desks and the rows. And so they made the classroom more welcoming and made it more of a learning environment where kids had choice in where they were sitting every day. Like, it wasn't assigned seating. It was the flexible seating that they were able to do. And we've really seen a difference in that. We were in a classroom this week and we were talking about how the classrooms are feeling more like an area at home. And so they're free for kids to really be comfortable so that they can learn. And so I think one of the nice things that we have in our district is that people are really given opportunities to just try new things, to test things out that they think will benefit their students. And so I think that's what helped build the trust, because when you're told, "I trust you," or when you're giving people an opportunity to just try new things and let them learn from failure, right? That's one of our values. It opens up the doors to just really taking risks and being creative and doing things that are going to benefit our students. And our teachers are really good about reflecting on it. And sometimes things don't work out, but you make adjustments. And that's how you learn, right? That's how we learn as educators ourselves. We try things and we make adjustments as needed or as necessary. And I think our executive team really models that. And that goes in every aspect of our entire district, where people are always doing things to kind of learn and grow that are going to benefit our students.
So I would add to that for me, the two main things to build trust are communication and follow through. So one of the things that can get us in trouble is when people feel like they're not in the loop. For example, a few years ago, the principals were feeling like they were the last to know on some things. And I know that sounds kind of silly and petty, but when, if they feel like one group, like maybe the PTA or the coaches or somebody is aware of some exciting implementation that and they find out about it after the fact, that leads to some resentment and some buildup. So we have been very intentional in making sure that we communicate well. A great example of that is Ryan Ferran, our public information officer. Actually, he's chief information officer, and he has his assistant, Amber. And you need two people for what we do. I mean, his relationship with local news agencies and newspapers, it's incredible, the great press that Arcadia gets. Not because we're not doing great things, it's just having those relationships. And with coronavirus, I think he's up to like number 78 or something on the number of informational newsletters that he sent out to the community, specifically explaining every little aspect of the coronavirus and how we're dealing with it, mitigating it in the district. And so there's not massive amounts of people showing up at board meetings to protest because everybody's in the know. That's the communication circle that we work so hard. And it's very fragile. It can break down. So being aware of that, we work on that. And the other thing is doing what you say you're going to do. So we see it all the time. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for calling me back. Really? You called me. I called you back within 24 hours because that's what you should do as a good person and being good in business or education. But it's so clear that doesn't happen. So I think that we pride ourselves in doing what we're saying, what we say we're going to do. And by communicating with everybody, bringing them along in the process. With that trust, as Andrea said, is the learning through failure, because one of our other values of our five values is to be creative. And we really want teachers to think outside the box and solve problems not in a traditional way. And they would never go there if they thought they were going to be judged or scolded. So something could be an abject failure, but they learn from that and they move on and it gets better because they tweak it or what have you. But absolutely, I think every single teacher in this district feels like they can try new things. And that's an amazing place to be, because a lot of people would be afraid to do that for fear of the blowback from the higher ups. So it's to me, everything stems from trust, and you have to work at it constantly so that people know that you're in this together and you believe in each other.
Thanks, both. Thanks. This is really inspiring how you envision leadership and practice that in the district. And what I can tell from the research is that you are able as a system to maintain high levels of trust on all the different layers of the organization, and that it was actually growing. And here's my segue into the topic, the pandemic. We were blown away because we measured trust in 2018, going on to 2019, when everything was still, we didn't know about no virus. And then we measured trust again in the spring of 2020. And we all know what was going on in the spring of 2020. We measured trust again in the spring of 2021, when schools had been closed for a year almost. And what we see throughout these three time points is that trust and relationships are still that high as they were in 2019. We measure this through surveys, through social network data, and we see that the relationship that were established before the pandemic were maintained, and that high levels of trust were maintained, that people still felt the room to innovate, that people felt that all the innovative practices that they tried before going into the pandemic were helping them to find their way in this new situation of distance learning, and also coming out of distance learning, moving back into school-based learning. We saw that student voice and choice was still high in the pandemic, that they sort of were able to, that teachers were able to find a way to maintain those practices also in a very different circumstances. So that was really, really impressive to us, and we were blown away. And then in hindsight, it made sense that when you have high levels of trust, you can weather this storm. And when you, we also know that these constructs of trust and culture and climate are not going to change overnight. If you trust someone yesterday, then a pandemic can start, but you still trust that person. And well, that's what we learned from the research, but we, of course, we couldn't predict this. And I would also ask, want to ask you, because never waste a good crisis, what did you learn from the pandemic, and how did it change or reinforce your view on leadership, culture, climate, relationships?
I think it's been unfair that Andrea goes first and I get to put in my nuggets. So I just want to give another plug to our executive team, way above Andrea and myself. But we have been, I've been really quite amazed at how steady their leadership has been. They have not been reactive, knee-jerk. They have not gone overboard one way or the other. They've just been taken a very cautious approach, which means that we've sort of weathered the storm. We haven't been out in front, which I don't think is smart because things changed constantly. And there are so many examples of districts who would hear something and they would quickly announce it. And then the next week it would be completely different and they'd have to retract it. And we never did that. We were always very astute in just let's wait. And then, oh, well, yeah, we have to do it, but we know this for sure by now. So that that happened over and over again. And so instead of tacking left and then tacking right, we kind of stayed in the middle, and we were very, plus the communication piece where nobody felt they didn't know. And I just over and over again, and I have a great comparison because the district that I came from that my wife still works in, and just the absolute knots they got tied into because of the lack of the trust between the leadership and the teachers and the all-out war going on there about many things and seeing it played out because of emergency board meetings off 9 hour emergency board meetings. Clearly trust was lacking. We never had anything like that. So it's so important. I can't stress this enough, because we had built this culture and climate of trust and collaboration. When a huge crisis, and this is probably the biggest crisis in 100 years, comes along, we are strong and ready to deal with it in a very, I'm just so proud of the district. And again, it starts at the top, but everybody came along, everybody was in it together, and we did it. And it's just so clear. So it was almost, if we could go back and not have this virus, 100%. But because it happened and because we were able to do what we did, it just reinforces the research. It reinforces Arcadia Unified and just what an amazing, magical place it is.
You're right. And whenever there is a crisis, it will amplify that importance of leadership. And I think Dr. Van Asdal did do a phenomenal job of staying steady and really did not change or go astray from anything different than what we in our organization knew. And I think that was really important. And there's a lot of times that I saw where there was a lot of pressure to do certain things or to change. And we always stuck true to our values. And the, like Dr. Hacking said, the communication piece, I think, is critical during this time. Dr. Van Asdal, I know, made time to speak with different stakeholder groups to make sure that they always felt that they had a voice, to listen to them if they had concerns. And I think that really goes a long way whenever there is a crisis. People always want to feel like they have a voice and they want to be heard. We also released several thought exchanges to make sure that we were getting input from our community about changes that needed to take place. We're really appreciative,
Andrea,
of the partners.
Uh-huh. Just so they're aware, Thought Exchange is a survey that goes out online. And then once they have information, people can rate the things that have been stated on. So, you know, oh, this is really important because everybody's giving it 5 stars, or, oh, this is only a 2-star. So it's a 2-part process. It's very clever. And we used thought exchange quite a bit to get that feedback from the community, from the teachers, from the students. Just wanted to, because we always talk about things and people have no idea what we're talking about. So.
Yes. It's like the acronyms, right? Yes. And so it's, the thought exchange is that was really important because everyone gets to see what everyone else is saying. So it's a very transparent survey and collecting information. We have a great relationship with our different, our teachers association and our APSA association and the networks and processes that we have even prior to this pandemic, I think supported everything in helping things be successful because the communication maintained, they increased, you know, they were very intentional about making sure that communication stayed open with all of our different partnerships. And so I think that's really important during this time to make sure that people feel like they have a voice and that they're heard and that they know what the next steps are when we have that information available.
Thanks for sharing this. I think, that beautifully aligns with just a general conversation about leadership. But it's been reinforced by the pandemic.
Okay. Can I add one more thing about the pandemic? That silver lining is we have generations of teachers. So we've got the boomers, proudly a boomer, but Dr. Mendoza's Gen X. And then, you know, we've got the millennials now coming in. And technology is something that can be used to our advantage. And it can also be a real hiccup, because some of the older, more veteran teachers aren't so comfortable with it. Well, the pandemic made everybody, necessity is the mother of invention. Everybody had to come up to speed with apps and distance learning programs and things like that. It was so beneficial to us that we were able to bring a lot of people along. I mean, Dr. Mendoza is a tech expert. Me, not so much. Like I said, I'm a boomer. But we all had to get better at that. And we knew how important it was. And so going forward, like we have this exciting platform that we're looking at called Schoology. And I just feel like we're in a better place for trying to roll things like this out, which will make the class communications better, the differentiation easier, and so on and so forth. With this learning platform. So that was one thing that the pandemic really was a plus on, and that is the advancement of technology. Kids can already do it. And he's just retiring this year, but one of my favorite teachers was the tech support guy at the school. And he said, "Don't be afraid, people. I'm 60 years old. I don't know it, but you just ask a kid, they will show you." And that has really worked, you know, it's been multiplied by 10 with this. So I'm excited about that going forward. Just wanted to add that little bit.
Yeah, I think that, it just concurs what you said earlier. Like you said, normal year, but it's going to be a different year because we all learned so much from this pandemic and we all improved our ICT skills a lot. Even me as a millennial / Gen X, I don't know even which generation I fall in, but it's a new era. And while coming out of the pandemic, we really want to end with this one question: which advice would you give other leaders listening to this podcast who want to strengthen their culture, school culture, district culture, and levels of trust coming out of the pandemic?
I think the advice is just really being able to listen and communicate from those listening sessions that you have with people. I think when people feel heard, they feel empowered. And listening doesn't mean always doing exactly what you're being told that they want you to do, but it's always listening is just taking into consideration where people are coming from. And I think the communication that we've had over these last 3 years has really helped in making us even stronger as an organization. One of the things that I constantly hear from people that might find other ventures outside of our district when they come back is that how special Arcadia is. And it is a special place because of the relationships that we have here. I know Dr. Vinozdal is really, his focus is relationships and relationship building. And I think the advice would be that too, is that through that listening and that communication, that you put relationships first. And I learned that from him, because if you don't have the relationships to support you, it's harder to get that work done. And we can't do things alone. We need a community of people to be able to move forward. And that's how we're going to continue to advance and get stronger.
And I would just say that you have to take the time. I always boil it down to the classroom. And sometimes teachers make the mistake of, I've got so much curriculum and the framework, and I've got to get all through all of this by May when we have our tests. And sometimes you have to go slow to be quick, or as my favorite coach, Wooden from UCLA, if you notice the shirt, says, be quick, but don't hurry. So taking that time, for example, building community in the classroom, having a restorative circle where kids can just talk about themselves and everybody can learn about each other. When we get to the work of the actual learning, it is so much more fluid and they're ready to do it. The same applies to adults. When we meet in person, which hopefully from the news today about masks, we'll be doing more in-person meetings going forward, we always circle up and we always play silly games at the beginning just to connect with each other. And that is so important. And if we just are focused on the work, then we're not going to have that climate and culture that we cherish to get that work done the best way that we can. So I would say to everybody, take the time to connect with each other, however you do it. I mean, we found really good ways to do it here, but it's more valuable than words can say.
Thanks so much, both. Those are such valuable lessons, and also to me, as for every person, also not a school leader, everyone in his professional context. It's for researchers too. For us, that's been an incredible learning journey so far, and hopefully for many years to come, to work with you and to learn from you. Because you have a beautiful context in which you are great leaders, you are great people, and you are working in an awesome context, and we learn so much from you. So, and all those silly games, I'm playing them also every meeting with a big group, because I think researchers too should like do games like As the Wind Blows before they talk about important researchy stuff. Thank you. And I want to end it with this.
As I told you, I'm not an educational professional. So I have a business experience. But what strikes me is that you talk about what I call integrated leadership. It's not about one thing. It's about all the other things combined. And I call that integrated leadership. And I'm a bit biased, of course, with regard to the Dutch situation. But let me put it this way. I think you're well ahead of what is happening in the Netherlands at this moment. So I am convinced that they can learn a lot from you. And I want to make you that compliment. I've listened to you and I thought, yes, this is the way how to handle things. This is what leadership should be. And I thank you very much that I was able to listen in. It was fascinating to listen to you, to really go along all the elements of leadership and even saying creativity is a basic element in that. And if you combine, that is what makes the future, in my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us as well. We really appreciate our partnership and thank you for the experience.
I won't be able to go through the door because my head's a little big right now. So thank you for that. And it's always nice to hear that reinforcement, because we think we're doing good work and the research shows it, but talking like this sort of solidifies everything. So appreciate the opportunity.
We appreciate your time. And yeah, just so thankful that through this podcast, we can share what I've learned from you with Dutch colleagues as well. And of course, with your own colleagues. So
I know I was nervous in the very beginning, but I felt like a little bit started to relax. So thank you.
And she never relaxes. So that's pretty
important. Oh, that's great. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.